Canto 11, sorry, chapter 14 of Canto 11 is called as, is titled, Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. And today we will be reading text 9. Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi,
Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi,
Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi, Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Manmaya Mohita Diya,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Purusha Purusha Sabha,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Shreyo Vadantyane Kantam,
Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi,
Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi.
Mat Maya,
by my illusory
potency,
Mohita,
bewildered,
Dhiya,
those whose intelligence,
Purusha,
people,
Purusha
Rishabha,
O best among men,
Shreya,
what is good for people,
Vadanti,
they speak,
Aneka Antam,
in innumerable ways,
Yatha Karma,
according to their own activities,
Yatha Ruchi,
according to what pleases them.
Translation.
O best among men,
the intelligence of human beings
is bewildered by my illusory potency,
and thus,
according to their own activities and whims,
they speak in innumerable ways
about what is actually good for people.
O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency, and thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people.
There is a follow-up verse also which I would like to couple along with this. That is text number 10.
Dharmam eke yasascha anye, kamam satyam damam samam, anye vadanti swartham va, aishwaryam tyaga bhojanam, kechit yagnyam tapodanam, vratani niyaman yaman.
Translation. Some say that people will be happy by performing pious religious activities. Others say that happiness is attained through fame, sense gratification, truthfulness, self-control, peace, self-interest, political influence, opulence, renunciation, consumption, sacrifice, penance, charity, vows, regulated duties, or strict disciplinary regulation. Each process has its own proponents.
So the purport to these verses:
unlike the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual living entity is not omniscient. Therefore, his activities and pleasures do not represent the whole truth. According to one's individual way of doing things, yatha karma, and one's personal preference, yatha ruchi, one speaks to others about what is good for them. Everyone thinks what is good for me is good for everyone. Actually, the best thing for everyone is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and thus realize one's eternal nature of bliss and knowledge. Without knowledge of the absolute truth, many so-called learned people are whimsically advising other whimsical people who also lack perfect knowledge of the actual goal of life.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasandhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, chapter 14 of Canto 11 is nothing but a continuation of the samvad or the discussion which is happening between Lord Krishna and his intimate dear disciple Uddhava. So, in this chapter, Lord Krishna is coming to the conclusions of yoga. Whereby Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava that Bhakti Yoga, which is the ultimate of the yoga systems, devotional service, had already been explained by Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma at the time of creation. And then from there, Lord Brahma spoke this knowledge to Manu. And then Manu spoke to the various sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni. And then the various sages in turn spoke this science of Bhakti Yoga to demigods as well as demons. But over a period of time, as is mentioned in this verse, Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi, the last line of this verse, based upon the individual aptitudes, preferences, goals of various people, this knowledge was tweaked and twisted to such an extent that eventually, even by the time that Uddhava could hear that, this knowledge was highly distorted. So Lord Krishna is saying that I am again explaining to you, my dear Uddhava, this science of Bhakti Yoga. So that's what is happening in this chapter. So the Lord is saying that some people say that people will be happy by performing religious activities. Others say that happiness is attained through fame, sense gratification, truthfulness, peace, political influence. Some people say renounce everything, then you will be happy. Some people say no, consume everything, then you will be happy. So there are totally contradicting opinions in society. So this is the dichotomy in which we live today. So one person is completely convinced that East is the way to go. Other person is completely convinced that West is the way to go. So you will find in two different forums, two different philosophies totally opposite to one another are given, and still society is accepting and people are saying that I have understood the absolute truth. So this is the beauty of Kali Yuga. So here, if you see the translation of the verse on the board, it says, O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency, and thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people. So, it's not rocket science to know that the quest of human existence is nothing but eternal happiness. Everyone wants to be happy, and everyone wants to be happy all the time. So whatever activities that are going on in society, whatever activities people do, are aimed at making themselves and their near and dear ones happy. So this is something which everyone knows. But the problem is, no one knows what is actually the right method of attaining this happiness. Or, as is mentioned in this verse, what is actually good for people in general. Now the same subject matter was discussed, the same question was asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami. And that is when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken the second time. The same question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj also to Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live, and therefore he asked Suta Goswami, what is the duty of a person who is facing imminent death in 7 days' time? Just imagine, if any of us were told that we have now only 7 days to live, then what is the activities that we will be doing? Will we be, you know, thinking of sense gratification, truthfulness, or will we be thinking of self-interest or some political influence? This is what are the things which people are running after. Will we be looking at consumption? Will we be looking at charity, regulated duties? Will we be looking at all this if we are told that we have 7 days to live? So, Maharaj Parikshit is asking a very valid question to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating him on this very nice question. And the answers begin from the first chapter of second canto. So, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, Varyan esate prashna, kruto loka hitam nipa. Loka hitam means that which is very beneficial for logon ke hit mein. Loka hitam, which is very beneficial for everyone in general. Atmavit sammitaha pumsam. The question which you are asking is Atmavit sammitaha pumsam, which means people who are already self-realized, the transcendental personalities, their sammadam is there. Atmavit sammataha pumsam. They are endorsing this question. This is a very valid question. Even self-realized people are very impressed by this kind of questioning. They approve of this questioning. Srotam vyadisu yaha paraha. Which means out of all the things which people hear nowadays, the best thing to hear is this subject matter. Which is, what is the duty of a person who is facing imminent death? And all of us sitting in this room are also facing imminent death. The only thing we don't know is that we have 7 days with us. Parikshit Maharaj knew that. So, here Uddhava is again asking the same question to Lord Krishna. So, Lord Krishna is also saying that, yes, what is actually good for people? You are asking that question. So, we look for happiness in several directions. That is the gist of these two verses. So, once upon a time, a mother went to the market with her child. Suddenly, as she was shopping, she realized that her child is missing. And we can imagine the mother's anxiety when she finds that her small baby is missing. Okay. So the mother goes to every shop in town. She goes to the grocery, she goes to the jewelry shop, she goes here, there. She tries to trace her steps everywhere where she has gone, but she cannot find her child. Ultimately, she gets frustrated, and then as she walks along, she finds a sage sitting somewhere. So this sage, Sadhu, she goes and asks, Sadhu, please tell me, where is my child? I am under intense misery. Can you please help? So Sadhu says, there is a lake far away from here. Go there and look into the lake and you will find your child. So she says, how can my child be near the lake? I never went to the lake. I was in 7-Eleven shopping. How can my son be lost in some lake which is far away from there? So the sage says, no, you go to the lake. And you look into the lake, you will find your child. So she walks to the lake. She reaches the lake. And as she looks into the water, she sees her child. Why? Because her child was on her shoulder. And she forgot. She was so intensely shopping that she forgot that her child was on her shoulder. And she could see in the water. So similarly, the soul is Sachidananda. Happiness is within our heart. But we have forgotten that happiness is so close. It's inside us. And instead we are searching for happiness
everywhere outside, in sense gratification, fame, self-control, consumption, renunciation, and so on and so forth. So Srila Prabhupada, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 13th chapter, verse number 29, Srila Prabhupada is translating a very interesting verse. This is actually Narad Muni speaking. The similar theme is being spoken by Narad Muni. He says, just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well which is covered by grass, but runs after water everywhere. The living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world. So, in school, when we were studying Hindi, there was a story called as Mamaji Ki Ainak. Anyone heard of this? In school we had this. Mamaji Ki Ainak. Mamaji means maternal uncle in Hindi. And Ainak means spectacles. So the story goes that one Mamaji was there, one uncle was there, and his small nephew was there. So one day, the Mamaji forgot his ainak, he forgot his spectacles, and he was searching everywhere in the house. Okay? Until the time that he came in front of his small nephew. And then, he asked the nephew, please can you tell me where is my spectacles? And the nephew said, Mamaji, it is on your head only. Okay, so Mamaji had kept the ainak here, and he completely forgot where the ainak was. So this is yet another example of something which is very near us and we forget. And nowadays, technology has complicated the problems. Like one day in the house, we were searching for the remote to switch off the TV. And the remote was not there at all, not to be found. We got miserable. Till that time, somebody reminded that you can also switch off the TV directly. So this is material conditioning. We forget what is obvious. And then we look for that which is very difficult to achieve and attain. So, this material world gives us so many options. If you go and ask someone, no, please can you tell me how to be happy, they will tell so many theories. What is that verse? The last line. Yatha karma yatha ruchi. Based on one's own tastes and aptitudes, they will give you an answer. Some will say that go to a nice restaurant, eat some good food, roti man, this man, Delhi palace, Mathura palace. Go and eat in these restaurants, you will be very happy. Others will say that go to a cinema, you will be very happy. Somebody will say go to a jewelry shop, you know, buy nice jewels, especially you know, Mataji's, that will give real happiness. And then yet others will say, you know, I am fed up of all this shopping, I feel like getting out of this place. You know, I have shopped everywhere. So, yeah, go to US on a vacation, go to Hawaii, you will find happiness there. So people will go to Hawaii. So like that, a conditioned soul roams everywhere, searching for that happiness. And one day, a sage, like the story of the woman, where she came across a sadhu and she told that, look into the water. So a sage like Srila Prabhupada comes across in our life and tells us, go to the lake of the scriptures and look into that lake and you will find that that happiness which you are searching everywhere outside is verily inside you. So the modern day philosophers, specifically, you know, the philosophers, the scientists, the politicians, industry, media, and our dear friends, our peer group. These are the most influential in giving us this knowledge of how to attain happiness. Though none of them is happy, still they will come and advise us on what is happiness. So, we find that industry, the scientists are coming out with newer and newer innovations, and then they make you feel, the industry commercializes these even innovations, and then they put up a billboard. Sometimes the billboard is a woman who is almost naked, okay, and then on some corner there is a small mobile phone, which is actually being sold. Now what has that got? The woman could still be wearing full dress and still you can sell that mobile phone. But the woman and the mobile phone don't have any relationship. But
If you just show a mobile phone, nobody will see. But if you show a woman like that, then everybody will see like that. And then they will go here and there, and finally they will locate, oh, there is a mobile phone there. Okay. And then it will say Telstra or Optus, something like that. It has got nothing to do with the product. So this is why, this is how industry will try and trick us into seeing products which we otherwise don't care about in our life. On top of that, when we find that our good friend has purchased iPhone, and whereas I have the old Nokia phone, then peer pressure will come on us. And then we will say that, you know, how much did you buy it for? Which shop you get? How much? 500. Oh, with discount? They give, okay, go to this shop. And then we want to buy that particular iPhone. And if we don't have that iPhone, then we are not accepted in our social circles. That means we are not normal. And if you tell them that I am happy, they don't believe you. Without iPhone. So industry, media, peer pressure, all these entities together try and tell you what is the secret of happiness. So, and then, these are the people who are in the mode of passion. Now, there is a common misconception in this world that happiness comes by possessing all this. Now, which is not uncommon. Everyone advises, happiness comes in possessing this, that. But there are others who are one step above these people. They will say that, no. Real happiness is in poverty, in misery. You don't hold anything. There are no possessions, absolutely. Then you will be happy. But go and check the bank balance of these people. They would have secured their own bank balance. Then they will tell this philosophy to you. Or they would anyway not have anything. So they will say this. Two types of people will tell this. They don't have anything, then only you will be happy. But if we go and see in society, people who don't have anything, who live in the jhopadpattis in Bombay, are they very happy? They are suffering from pestilence, disease and so on and so forth. Go to Bombay sometimes. You will see, you know, Bombay is such a beautiful place that you will have a skyscraper. The poshest area will be also there. And just across the road will be the most miserable area where there are hutments. This you can see only in Bombay. You will not see in Australia this kind of situation. Opulence and misery together, hand in hand, on the right hand side, on the left hand side of the street. So if you have an address which is 302 Dank Street, it will be very prestigious. But if you have 301 Dank Street, then you have nothing actually with you. That is in Bombay. So happiness, people say, some people say, is in possessing everything. And happiness, some people say, in not possessing anything. But Srila Prabhupada has clearly told us that happiness is beyond possessions, which means it has got nothing to do with what you possess, and it has got equally nothing to do with what you don't possess. Happiness is completely beyond matter. So you can be happy being the richest person and still be equipoised, and you can be happy being the poorest person in this world and still be equipoised and happy. It has got nothing to do with it. Recently, a survey was done by MIT and Harvard, and they studied the developing nations in this world, and they concluded that happiness has got nothing to do with possessions. There is no correlation coefficient, because these countries have been progressing economically, but the happiness quotient is totally unrelated. It's not even saying that the happiness has decreased because of economical progress. No, happiness is anyway going down, because happiness going down is the nature of Kali Yuga. Whether you progress economically or you don't progress economically, Srila Prabhupada has clearly concluded that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So it is also wrong to say that happiness is inversely proportional to economic development, because Kali Yuga is a machine which is designed to frustrate us. So anyway we will be frustrated. So everybody is frustrated in this world. Even in the developing developed countries, I heard yesterday that 1 out of 6 people, I think Murali Prabhu was telling somebody, 1 out of 6 people in Australia is miserable or something like that. And then it is said that out of the younger age group, I think 2 out of 3 or something is going through mental stress out of the teenagers. So this is the situation in Australia, developed country. Okay. So this MIT and Harvard, what they concluded is that happiness, while it is not directly proportional, they defined a term called as the focus of illusion. Essentially what they try to say is that happiness is something which is like a mirage, which is being chased. So eventually science comes to a point, technology comes to a point and gives some solution for happiness, and then people try it out, enjoy it, get bored with it, get some temporary satisfaction, and then because they are fed up, again they go back to the scientist and say, can you invent something new now? So so that now we can be happy. So there is a, the focus is only on illusion. The focus is not on happiness per se. So they came out with this caption, the focus of illusion, MIT and Harvard. And the happiness of this material world, there is an interesting example I heard recently in a lecture, where the speaker was saying that it is like the candy bar in a show window. Like for example, you know, in childhood we used to go to the theater to watch movies. And after the, you know, during the movies there was an intermission, there was a break. And then you come out and then you see that, you know, the cinema theater, the shops, they are selling all these candies. So typically what happens, father has given some pocket money. So you try to buy the biggest thing which is possible in the lowest money, whatever looks really big, the bonda or the batata or a big one, right? Or that, you know, candy, that is also very, you know, enticing. So when you actually end up spending your money and buying that candy, which looks really big, and then what happens? You open the packet. Just like that iPod, have you, you know, you must have purchased that iRiver or iPod, no? There is, the covering is so big, and then you cut it through the scissors, then you tear it, then some brochures come out, and finally one headphone will come out from there. Out of the huge packaging. And then you'll go, I purchased recently, you know, one headphone, and then I found that after I opened the small headphones comes out. It was really frustrating. And you actually think that they put so many dollars and then you think you're buying a really big thing. So this candy, small candy pops out of that big cardboard carton. And then the cardboard carton anyway you're throwing in the dustbin. So the happiness of this material world is like that small candy in a big cardboard carton. People are getting allured by the packaging which Maya offers and getting attracted to that. So in Hindi, we have a famous saying. It says, Khoda pahad nikli chuhi. Which means you are digging a mountain and what comes out after that is a small rat. So the happiness of the material world is like that. So media makes us focus on this illusion, as we discussed earlier. In fact, one of the senior devotees in ISKCON, he went to US, and in US, you know how New York is. He was in New York, and New York is a city which is actually a horrible place. Okay. So it's Manhattan, completely in the mode of ignorance and passion. No one has time for everyone. Every day some broker is committing suicide, okay, because of the stock markets. So it's a place where there is nothing called as God consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada went there. He went to the worst place in the world. So in this New York, there was a beautiful poster. It said that get out of the humdrum of life. Get to the Caribbeans. And there was a, you know, picture as usual, you know, of a lady who was scantily clad. And then, you know, and she has got a boyfriend, and both of them, there is a beach, and then there is sun is rising or setting. And then they are standing hand in hand. Get to the Caribbeans. So this person decided that, okay, we'll go to the Caribbeans for a vacation. Now the problem was, when he landed in Caribbeans, then at Puerto Rico airport, he found another poster, which said, it was interesting, it said, are you going nuts in this little island doing nothing? Go to New York. So this is how material life makes a fool out of everyone. Makes us run here and there. So he also said that his father was a businessman. His father's only dream was that he wanted to buy a house near the beaches of Los Angeles. So eventually his father took mortgage and then took a house near the beach of Los Angeles. Now for 1 or 2 days he enjoyed that. And after that there was a sense of guilt consciousness, because in Kali Yuga typically we spend before we can afford. That is called as mortgage. We don't have the money, but we own, thinking that we will own someday. Okay, and eventually we sell it, because we can never pay off that mortgage. So he purchased this house, and in few days he realized that no, this is not going to work in my life. Mortgage is simply huge, because so much mortgage was being paid that he could not eat his food properly. Didn't have money for food, basic necessities of life. So he said that, okay, let me do one thing. Let me get a job to pay off this mortgage. But unfortunately, he was not getting job in that place, because it was on the countryside, you know, beach and beautiful house, you know, beach facing house. So he said that jobs are only available in the city, so let me go to Los Angeles and work. So he purchased a car, because he has to travel to Los Angeles city every day. So he took another mortgage for a car, loan for a car, and then he again started traveling to Los Angeles. So every day it was a 3-hour drive or something, you know, one way. And then he got fed up of that and he said that, okay, let me do one thing. This is too much miserable. If I work in Los Angeles, my misery will be solved. So he left his servant and a dog in that house and then went and resided in Los Angeles. So this devotee was saying, and my father spent his entire life and finally he died. So he said with all the money, he just built the most expensive house for his dog. Most expensive dog house, he said. So this is how material illusion chases us. It's a mirage. This happiness is not going to come in this material world. So Lord Krishna is explaining this science to Uddhava in these chapters. So in Bhagavad Gita also we hear that in the second chapter, which you know currently I and Bala Prabhu we are studying the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the tram. So there was something interesting we came across, which of course many of you have heard it many times. Arjuna is overwhelmed with compassion. In the second chapter it opens with Arjuna being overwhelmed with compassion because his own kith and kin are on the opposite side of the battlefield and his eyes are filled with tears. So the verse says, Tam tata kripa yavistham and ashru purna kulekshanam, which means he was overwhelmed with compassion and tears and he was unable to assess the real situation in front of him. He was not knowing that if I fight, whether that is good for me, or if I don't fight, whether that is good for me. What is it that will bring me happiness in this world? So he was unable to assess the situation. And there is an English proverb which I heard recently. It said, do not weep so much when you lament, because if you weep, tears will cloud your eyes and you cannot see the opportunity in the situation. So Arjuna was filled with this kind of compassion for his kith and kin and he had tears in his eyes. Ashru purna kulekshanam. And then he asked Krishna for his advice, saying that now you tell me what has to be done. Now Lord Krishna is not an ordinary personality who will just immediately give, okay, cheap advice available at the counter. He is a supreme personality of Godhead. There is a way of approaching him. So Lord Krishna puts Arjuna through the acid test. He tells Arjuna the answer to eternal happiness is not going to come in one day, free of cost. So Lord Krishna says, Tat vijnyartham sa gurum eva abhigachet, which means the first step towards attaining this eternal happiness is that you have to accept a guru. So Lord Krishna actually tells him, go to Vyasadeva and all these sages and ask them. So Arjuna says that I am not able to see any of these people. And finally he realizes that Lord Krishna himself is standing in front of him. So why not make him the guru? And then ask him, who is the better guru than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? So then Arjuna starts accepting a guru in his life. He accepts Lord Krishna as his guru, and as soon as Lord Krishna starts speaking to him, Arjuna's lamentation is gone away. So Srila Prabhupada writes that the heat of lamentation dries up all our senses. And then he further explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, that academic knowledge, scholarship and high position fail to drive away the lamentation of a human being. Therefore, it is necessary to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and that's the only way by which our lamentation can be driven out. And Srila Prabhupada further writes, if all these things which are mentioned in this verse, opulence and political influence, if all these things can give happiness to somebody, then why was Arjuna lamenting? Because he already had all these things. And Lord Krishna was saying, you kill them, anyway the kingdom is going to come to you. And after that you are going to have everything. But still he was lamenting. So from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also we understand that happiness is independent of material opulence. And then the second chapter goes on to say, Prahasan Iva Bharata. It says that as soon as Lord Krishna smiled towards Arjuna and starts addressing his questions, the smile of Lord Krishna itself drove away all the miseries of Arjuna. So it is said that the benevolent smile of Lord Krishna drives away the ocean of tears of lamentation of the conditioned soul. So, knowing the difference between matter and soul is very important in developing spiritual knowledge. But simply knowing matter and the difference between matter and spirit is not adequate, because even the Mayavadis know that they are the soul and not the body. So Lord Krishna here in these verses, he is explaining to Arjuna, it's not enough to know that you are not the body and you are the spirit soul, but ultimately you have to understand what is the genesis of the spirit soul, what is the relationship of the spirit soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and establishing that re-establishing that relationship with me is the gateway to eternal happiness. And she says that process of connecting is called as yoga. So the entire Bhakti Yoga chapter is being explained. For example, a child sometimes cries for candy, and whatever you give to the child is not satisfied. Just like the other day, Abhishek Bhatnagar Prabhu is there. His son, what's his name? Chakradhar. Small, you know. So Abhishek Bhatnagar Prabhu, he came out of the Damodarashtagam Kirtan, and you know, I happened to take his son in my hands. The moment any child comes in my hands, it starts crying. I don't know why. Maybe my horoscope. But he started wailing. He was okay till that time. But the moment I took him, he started crying loudly. And then eventually my wife had to come, and then I got scared, and then I gave the baby back in her hands. The moment he got into her hands, he was immediately switched off, as if nothing was there. And I was wondering, how is this possible? There has to be some transition time at least, from misery to happiness. But no transition, immediately stop, like that. But sometimes I have seen that even if I give the child in some other lady's hands, still the child is crying. For example, Yogeshwar Govind Prabhu's daughter, Vrinda. Vrinda will only stop crying if she is given to her mother. Okay. So, from these examples, we understand that the child who is crying for candy can be transferred to so many ladies. The ladies may sing some song and give some toy, etc. But the child will only stop lamenting and crying if it is in securely established in the lap of its mother. So, similarly, material prosperity, money, good food, restaurants, cinemas, all these things are like the temporary mothers. But ultimately these will not give us satisfaction. Satisfaction is only there at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And this happiness, this knowledge about this experience of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is available only in the association of devotees. Only in satsanga we can find such happiness. Srila Prabhupada often used to say that to find happiness outside of devotee association is insanity. Because what do devotees do? It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in one of the chatushlokis, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Kathayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. Because devotees are always engaged in thinking about the Lord and in conversing about the Lord. They don't have any other subject matter for discussion. So, devotees help us experience Krishna fully. Krishna cannot be understood without the association of devotees. It's a known fact. So, on this Tushyanticha Ramanticha, there is a very interesting example from the Sri Sampradaya. In Sri Sampradaya, there was an Acharya whose name was Yatindra Pravana. I don't know whether any of you have heard him. But Yatindra Pravana was an Acharya who was established in a place called Sri Rangam. Now, in Sri Rangam, what happens is, Lord Ranganath, who is none other than Mahavishnu, he is to be taken out, you know, for a procession sometimes. And this procession is called a Shobha Yatra. Shobha Yatra, where the Lord is taken out. Like we take Lord Jagannath out, the Lord is taken out there also. Now, one day, Yatindra Pravana was sitting on the banks of a lake which is called as Chandra Pushkarani, and he was sitting along with other Vaishnavas, and they were discussing the sweet pastimes of Lord Ranganath. Now, as they were discussing these pastimes along the lake, they saw suddenly the sound of conch shells, kettle drums, and so on and so forth. And as they looked, they found that Lord Ranganath procession was going along the road. So lot of musical instruments were there. Lot of Brahmanas were there, and this procession was going along. So Yatindra Pravana and the devotees, as was the custom, whenever the Lord's procession goes on, everyone stands up and to honor that procession. So everyone stood up. Now what was unique here was, everyone stood up, and then after they sat down, Yatindra Pravana, he told something unique to them. He said, just see, we were nicely discussing and chanting the sweet pastimes of Lord Ranganath. But this procession of Lord Ranganath is a disturbance to our Harikatha. He said it is a disturbance to Harikatha, the procession of the Lord Himself. Now, immediately when I heard this example, mentally I was making some offenses to Yatindra Prabhu, because my mind is conditioned, and obviously immediately, you know, the conditioned mind finds some faults. I couldn't accept it till I heard further what happened. So, what happened after that is, Lord Ranganath finished his procession and came back to his altar. After he came back to the altar, the pujari found that Lord Ranganath was very disturbed. And in his disturbance, he started talking to the pujari. He called back the pujari to the altar and said, next year onwards, no procession business. Don't take me out. Next 1 year, there will be no procession. Not next year onwards, sorry. He said, from tomorrow, for the next 1 year, I don't want to come out on procession at all. And he said, there is my devotee whose name is Yatindra Pravana. And then his other Vaishnava friends, they are discussing on the, or they are sitting on the lake Pushkarni. Go and tell them that every day from tomorrow, I don't want to them to discuss Harikatha there, but I want them to come inside my altar and discuss Harikatha in front of me, because I enjoy hearing Harikatha from their mouth, my own glories from their mouth. So this is the glory of devotees, Harikatha from the mouth of devotees, that even, what to speak of other devotees and neophyte devotees, even Lord Krishna himself, Lord Ranganath himself gets attracted by this Tushyan teacher, Raman teacher. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that devotee association is very important, and that is the way by which we will understand the goal of this human form of life, and also the process to attain the goal of life, which is eternal happiness. So, the same answer was given by Sukadeva Goswami also to Maharaj Parikshit when he said, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirti Thavyasta Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. Which means, Lord Sukadeva Goswami is saying, at the end of the day ultimately, Shrotavya Kirti Thavyasta. Because Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live, and he was asking Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami congratulated him on this question earlier, if you remember. And then Sukadeva Goswami tells him that Shrotavya Kirti Tavyascha, association of devotees and hearing and chanting in their association is the only thing which someone should do when he has 7 days to live. And also, further he says, Etan Nirvidyamanana Ichchatam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nripa Nirnitam Harer Nama Anukirtanam. This is the jewel verse of the second canto, first chapter, where he says that Harer Nama Anukirtanam, doing kirtan, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and goswamis, is the only way of attaining eternal happiness. Therefore, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai a nice question. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, Dukkha madhye kona dukkha haya guru tar Krishna bhakta viraha vina dukkha nahi dekhe par. He says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda Rai, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful distress for somebody? Dukkha madhye kona dukkha haya guru tar. And then Sri Ramananda Rai is replying, Krishna bhakta viraha vina dukkha nahi dekhe par. He says, apart from separation of devotees of Krishna, when one experiences that, I know of no other unbearable happiness. So Ramananda Rai is telling that there is no other more misery than being separated from the association of devotees. Because only in the association of devotees can one experience Krishna fully and derive happiness out of that. So if we see in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj also, Dhruva Maharaj wanted the kingdom of his father. And when he had darshan of Lord Narayana in front of him, Lord Narayana gave him a planet, which is Dhruva Loka. He said, what to speak of kingdom of your father? I am giving you an entire planet. And that too, that planet is not from the material world, it is from the spiritual world. And you are the emperor of that planet. So he gave him opulence, which was much, much beyond what Dhruva Maharaj ever asked Lord Krishna for. But still, when Lord Narayana asked him, what do you want now? He says, I don't want any of this. These are all broken pieces of glass. And what did Dhruva Maharaj ask for? He asked for association of devotees. So that is the power of association of devotees. Prahalad Maharaj also had darshan of Lord Narsingadev. And Lord Narsingadev told Prahalad Maharaj, I am very pleased with you, my dear Prahalad. Ask me, what do you want? And Prahalad Maharaj said, please bless me that I am always in the association of your devotees. So look at this. The Lord is personally present in front of them. That is also not satisfying to the soul. The soul which is pure is hankering for the association of devotees. Because discussing Harikatha in the association of devotees is even more satisfying to the heart than Lord personally coming and giving us darshan right in front of us. So that is the highest truth. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that association is so powerful, as the importance of association is so high, that one has to understand that association is not a means to attain Krishna. Association is an end in itself. Just like chanting is not the means, not only the means to attain the Lord, but chanting is also the prayojana, the goal of bhakti. So the verse is, Krishna bhakti janma moola khaya sadhu sangha, Krishna prema janme tenho puna mukhya anga. Krishna bhakti janma moola khaya sadhu sangha, which means the whole janma moola, the whole foundation of our devotional life is sadhu sangha. The whole foundation of Krishna bhakti is in this association of devotees. The whole foundation, the whole process of bhakti, which will ultimately lead to Krishna prem, is based on the foundation of association of devotees. However, he says the second line, he says, Krishna prema janme tenho puna mukhya anga. He says, but the dependence on devotees, the very same devotees, is eternal, even after the stage of perfection. So sometimes we have this mentality, you know, oh, once I get Krishna prem, I'll be thankful, I never have to see this devotee's face again in my life. Sometimes the mind always says like this, you know, one day I'll attain Krishna prem and then I know I'll be very happy in Vaikuntha with another set of devotees, not this set of devotees. This is how the mind tricks us. But no, this relationship is going to be eternal, whether we like it or not. Jina yaha marna yaha, it said, no? Iske siva jana kaha. So, you know, in Hindi there is a song like that, you know. So we have to live amongst these devotees only, because though we may not understand with our conditioned senses, but it is these devotees only who are going to take us back to Godhead. One of my God brothers, Rasamrita Prabhu, he always sends, you know, some mails, and below the emails he writes a very interesting line. He says, at the end of the day, all we have is one another, each other. So it is everybody in this room that is going to take everybody in this room back to Godhead. Because Srila Prabhupada has already left the planet. Our spiritual masters are not always going to be in front of us. So how do we get siksha? So our siksha gurus are nothing but everyone sitting in this room. So we learn from one another, we encourage one another, we do tushyanticha, ramanticha, and then we all go back to Godhead. So this relationship is eternal, not temporary. So there's a very interesting statement I heard that about Srila Prabhupada's glories. It said that Srila Prabhupada gave us this facility to associate with the devotees. So it is said that ISKCON is like a telescope. Lord Krishna has to be seen. And ISKCON is like the telescope to attain the Lord. Okay, to have darshan of the Lord and to attain His eternal abode. Now, when ISKCON is the telescope, what is the characteristic of a telescope? If I give you a telescope without a lens, will you be able to see anything? Big telescope. But no lens is there inside that. Okay. Nothing can be seen. So, the power of a telescope is directly proportional to the number of lenses within that telescope. Now, these lenses are nothing but layers of devotees. The more layers of devotees we add between us and Krishna, the more powerfully we can see Krishna in our lives. So, the more the layers between us and Krishna, the faster we can go back to Godhead. Exactly opposite of corporate life. In corporate life, the more the layers, the lesser the chances that we will get promotion. Right. We want to directly be in the visibility of bosses, like that. Whereas here, to be more and more visible to Krishna, we have to be more and more away from Krishna. Not away from Krishna in that sense, that we go to a bar, but more and more away means we add more and more layers of shiksha in our lives. So that's the essence of what Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava in this verse. So we'll spend another 5 to 7 minutes and then conclude for the day. Tomorrow is the auspicious disappearance day of one very elevated saint who found happiness within his heart in Krishna Bhakti. So it is none other than Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami Thakur. So we'll spend another 5 minutes in discussing about his pastimes. Because tomorrow, incidentally, there is the disappearance day of three of the Acharyas. I think it is Gadadhar Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and there is one more personality which is not mentioned in our calendar. We are not mentioned in the calendar, but I forgot the name of the personality. So I believe that someone who is doing the Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow would probably speak about Srinivas Acharya's lifetime. So today we'll spend some time discussing about Gadadhar Das Goswami Thakur. So Gadadhar Das Goswami Thakur is often confused with Gadadhar Pandit. When we say Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gauravakta Vrinda. So this is not that Gadadhar Pandit. That Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Radharani, right? But this is Gadadhar Das Thakur. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is none other than Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And he is relishing the Vipralamba Bhav, which means mood of separation from Radharani. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because he is experiencing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes explained to be Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalita. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalita. This is the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which means that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is characterized by the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. And today's personality, Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami, about whose disappearance day is tomorrow, is mentioned there as was one of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and he is mentioned as the luster of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Lord Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami is none other than the incarnation of the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani. In the Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, it is mentioned that he is the extension of Srimati Radharani's beauty and her luster. And it is mentioned, the gopi whose name is called as Chandrakanti. There is a gopi who is called as Chandrakanti. And this Chandrakanti, she is a vibhuti or an expansion of Srimati Radharani herself. And she appeared, this Chandrakanti appeared in Gaur Leela as Srila Gadadhar Das Pandit. And this Gadadhar Das Pandit was a very close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is also mentioned that he is a united form of this Chandrakanti, who is Radharani's associate, plus Purnananda Gopi, who is an expansion of one of the girlfriends of Lord Balaram. So, Srila Gadadhar Das Pandit, in essence, is the combined incarnation of Chandrakanti and Purnananda Gopi. So, therefore, he was intimate both to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as to Lord Nityananda, in that sense. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the glories of Gadadhar Das Goswami by saying that Lord Nityananda was personally present in the heart of Gadadhar Das Goswami. But the unique thing about Gadadhar Das Goswami, which differentiates him from other eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, is that because if you find most of the associates of Lord Nityananda, they are mostly gopas and most of them are in Sakhyaras. Whereas, because Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami is none other than the incarnation of the luster of Srimati Radharani, he was always in Madhuryaras. So, though he was associating in the group of Lord Nityananda along with the Sakya Ras Gopas, he himself was always in Madhuryaras. So, in that sense, he was different. So, and some pastimes are given. Key amongst them is that he had this habit of going into ecstasy. He used to go into ecstasy from time and again. So once when returning from Bengal to Puri, he completely forgot himself and suddenly he started selling yogurt on the road. He didn't have any yogurt with him. But he said that anybody who wants to buy yogurt, is there anyone who wants to buy milk? So suddenly he used to go into this bhava because that was his eternal position in the spiritual world. So once he was carrying a jug filled with Ganges water on his head, and he thought that he was actually selling milk. Actually, he was selling milk in that sense, because the absolute realm is very difficult to understand. So these personalities are also very difficult to understand. So he used to keep on going into this kind of a mood. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared in the house of Raghav Pandit, when he was en route to Vrindavan, it is mentioned that Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu used to feel so happy on seeing Gadadhar Das Goswami, that Mahaprabhu used to place his feet on the head of Gadadhar Das Goswami. And when Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda to spread the Sankirtan movement in Bengal, Gadadhar Das Goswami was one of his chief assistants who helped Lord Nityananda spread the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in various parts of Bengal. So the key amongst them is the story of the Qazi. Now, the Qazi was very envious of the devotees and he was a very angry man. Whenever he used to see the Sankirtan happening, he used to lose his head. So, one day what happened was that Gadadhar Das Goswami, he went outside to the Qazi's house and then he started doing loud Kirtan in front with Mridanga and he started dancing wildly. So, the Qazi got irritated inside his house. So, in a very angry mood, the Qazi came down and then he opened his door. And he was very angry mood. He was about to chastise Gadadhar Das Goswami. But the moment he opened his door, what he saw in front of him was a very effulgent personality having the beauty of the luster of Srimati Radharani. When you see such a kind of vision in front of your eyes, anger is obviously going to fly outside the window. So immediately he mellowed down completely and with sweet words he asked Gadadhar Das Goswami, "What can I do for you?" And Gadadhar Das Goswami said, "Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have descended outside your house and here on the streets they are performing Hari Ketan. Day in and day out you are doing that. So why don't you chant the name of Hari? Why are you wasting your life?" So he asked. So the Qazi, he forgot his anger completely. Somehow, he got into a very receptive mood. But still because of, some holding back, he said, "Okay, I'll chant the name of Hari tomorrow." He said, no, chant the name of Hari today. So he said, no, I'll chant the name of Hari tomorrow. No, you chant the name of Hari today. No, I'll chant the name of Hari tomorrow. And then Gadadhar Das Pandit, then when he answered again, "I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow," Gadadhar Das Pandit got very, again he got into an ecstatic mood because the Qazi mentioned Hari thrice from his mouth. And immediately he started dancing. And he said, "You have chanted the name of Hari so many times while talking to me, your life is now, the purpose of your life is achieved and you have been completely purified by this." So he gave this blessing to the Qazi and immediately the Qazi fell down at his feet and became his disciple. He surrendered to Gadadhar Das Goswami. So such was the power of Gadadhar Das Goswami. So in this way, he delivered countless sinners, non-believers and yavanas with the holy name of Krishna. Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami lived in Navadvip Dham, taking care of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya because Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. But after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, he moved to Katwa. As you know, Katwa is the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. His hair was shaved off in that place in Katwa. So Gadadhar Das Pandit started residing in Katwa. And finally, after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went and settled down in a village called as Endiadaha Gram, which is 8 to 10 miles from Calcutta on the banks of the Ganges, where he resided thereafter. Now in Endiadaha, he established a Bal Gopal Murthy for worship there. And Lord Nityananda, he came there, he saw the Bal Gopal deity, and the moment Lord Nityananda saw the Bal Gopal deity, he completely lost all his control over himself and he started dancing in ecstasy. He took the Bal Gopal movie in his hand, put it to his chest, and Lord Nityananda was dancing. And it is said that when Lord Nityananda held this deity, all the demigods and the denizens of heaven descended to see Lord Balram. Lord Nityananda is none other than Lord Balram. Lord Balram is none other than Anantashesh. Anantashesh holding Bal Gopal on the chest and showing affection for Bal Gopal. This was witnessed by all the demigods. So this was the deity of Gadadhar Das. Now what happened was, during the same time when Lord Nityananda, after he finished his dance, Srila Madhavananda Ghosh, who was another very elevated personality, he along with Gadadhar Das, they performed a drama which is known as Danakand, where Lord Nityananda personally participated in that drama. Eventually, Srila Gadadhar Das established a temple of Gaur Sundar in Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. So there is also a deity of Lord Balram here, which is about half the size of Lord Chaitanya. So these deities are called as Hitai Gauranga. Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami disappeared on the 8th day of the full moon in the month of Kartik. His tomb is there in this place called as Ediyadaha, where he spent the last few days of his pastimes in this world. So his tomb is built in Ediyadaha, but later what happened, there was this tomb came into the hands of some other Vaishnava acharyas, and eventually into the hands of one Babaji. And this Babaji, he had a very aristocratic disciple from the Malik family, and this disciple eventually built a monastery along the tomb. And in this monastery, he also established the deities of Sri Sri Radha Kanta. So today, if you see, also the Malik's son further established Gornita deities. So if you go to the tomb of Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami today, you will find a monastery there, and you will also find the deities of Sri Sri Radha Kanta and the deities of Sri Sri Gornita. But there is one more special thing you will find in this samadhi. That is, you will find the hair of Lord Chaitanya, which was preserved after Lord Chaitanya underwent his sannyasa shaving at the hands of the barber whose name was Madhi Sil. And that hair is also preserved in the samadhi of Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami. Amongst the prominent disciples of Srila Gadadhar Das Goswami is Srila Yadunandan Chakravarti. So he is among the prominent disciples. So that was a short discussion about Srila Gadadhar Das Thakur Mahashaya's pastimes, whose disappearance day happens to be tomorrow. So we take this opportunity to take the blessings of Srila Gadadhar Das Thakur Mahashaya that we may progress in our Krishna consciousness. Srila Gadadhar Das Thakur Mahashaya ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jai Nikaya Gaura Prema.